Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
Okay, now, just messing with you. Everybody online's like, oh no, we're having another problem. Just kidding. Hey, open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 17 if you brought a Bible with you. That's where we're going to be starting today. We're actually in this series called The Church with Open Doors that Mary had mentioned just a second ago. And we're talking about Acts 15 through 18, and we're looking at the doors that God opened up for Paul and Timothy and Silas and for the gospel to go forward. And we've kind of asked the question, man, what does it look like to be a church with truly open doors that swing both ways, right? Doors that swing in so that anybody who wants to discover truth about who God is from the scripture is welcome to do that, but also doors that open out so that those who've been born again, who are followers of Jesus Christ, can go with the gospel into their circles of influence. And that's really where we've been spending a lot of our time over these last few weeks. And so we're going to be picking up in Acts chapter 17 today, continuing on in that. And I do want to take a moment. I want to welcome everybody who's in the house today at Lighthouse Community. Thank you so much for being here. If we haven't met yet, my name is Fritz. I'm one of the pastors. Really glad you're with us. And then we also want to welcome everybody who's joining us at Lighthouse Online. And I'm just wondering if those of you in the house, we actually have quite a few people who join us in our online campus. And I'm just wondering if those of us in the house right now, can you help me welcome Lighthouse Online and just show them a little bit of love? And that, we love that you are a part of our family. We know many of you are right here in Hancock County. Others, you're in other places, other states and whatnot. And I just want you to know that even though you may have never stepped foot in this building, you are a part of our family. We pray for you. We think about you. We want to think about ways on helping you to take next steps in your walk with Jesus Christ as well. So I'm going to ask you to kind of maybe take a step of courage today. Mary mentioned the online card at mylighthousecommunity.com/live. I'm wondering if you would go there. And if nothing else, just put your name in there and send it to us. We would love to just be able to pray for you by name. There's so many people who are part of our church family, and we just want to be able to pray for you and think about you and help you take those next steps. So if you do that, that would be absolutely fantastic. Okay, so we're going to start in Acts chapter 17, looking right at verse 1. I'm going to read through a couple of these passages, and we're going to dive in and talk about it. So this is what it says. When Paul and his companions had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. "This Jesus I'm proclaiming to you is the Messiah," he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. But other Jews were jealous. So they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other believers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there's another king, one called Jesus." When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. But when the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, some of them went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. The believers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. Those who escorted Paul brought him to Athens and then left with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. Now, there's a lot to talk about right here in just these 15 verses. We're actually going to focus in on one phrase for the morning and kind of live there for most of our time together. And the phrase is found in verse 2, which is, "reasoned with them from the scriptures." We're going to kind of live there this morning for a little bit, reasoning from the scriptures, because this is what Paul did when he was sharing the gospel in Thessalonica, when he was sharing the gospel in Berea. I think we can assume that's what he did in most of the other places that he went. He was reasoning with them from the scriptures. What does that mean? What does it mean to reason with someone from the scriptures? Well, I think the Amplified translation kind of helps us understand a little bit more what he was doing. And so it says this, right? He engaged in a discussion and a friendly debate. That's how it's translated. He's engaging in conversation, right? He's talking with people. He's putting an idea of truth in front of a group of people and asking them to examine it out loud. Let's talk about this. Let's consider this. Let's look at this from different angles. And one of the things that Paul typically did when he entered into a city that he was there to share the gospel, one of the first places he would look for, well, let's do this. What was one of the first places Paul would look for when he entered into a new city to share the gospel? Does anybody know? Synagogue. Okay, lots of you know. All right, okay, yeah. So one of the first places he would go, synagogue. Why? In the synagogue, you had people who already believed there was a God. You had people who already believed that the Bible was from God. You had people who already were familiar with the promises of God from the Old Testament, the prophets and the law and the writings of Moses. And so he's meeting with people who are already familiar with that backstory. Now, here's what's very important to understand. He's talking with people who are religious, but they're not born again. These are not people whose lives have been transformed through faith in Jesus Christ. These are not people who have the Holy Spirit living in them. These are religious people. They understand things like God exists. They read the scriptures regularly. They engaged in religious activity as a normal part of their life. And what Paul would do is he would go into the synagogue, especially here in Thessalonica, and it says he explained and proved that the Messiah had to suffer and to rise. This is what it looked like for him to reason from the scriptures. He would say, look at this passage. Don't you see how the Messiah had to suffer and then he had to rise? Look at this Old Testament passage. Look at this writing of the prophet. Look at this from the Psalms, right? And that word, right? In the NIV, it says explain and prove. The word explain literally means to open. And the word prove literally means to set before. And so what Paul was doing was essentially he was opening the Bible and setting it before them, going, look, right here, don't you see that in your own scriptures? Don't you see that in Isaiah? Don't you see that in the Psalms? Don't you see? He's simply opening the Bible and he's setting evidence before people for them to consider and for them to talk about. That's what it looked like for Paul to reason from the scriptures. Now, Paul is not the only one to reason from the scriptures. In fact, there's other places in the Bible that talk about reasoning from the scriptures. I think about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in the chariot reading Isaiah. If you're not familiar with this, Acts chapter 8, one of the disciples, Philip, is walking along and the Holy Spirit says, hey, go walk next to that chariot. He gets there and he overhears an Ethiopian guy reading Isaiah out loud. And Philip goes, do you understand what you're reading? And he goes, no. And how can I unless somebody helps me to understand it? And so then you get to Acts 8:35, which says this. Then Philip spoke, and beginning with this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And expanding on that, that was explaining that he is the promised Messiah and the source of salvation. And so Philip is simply reasoning with this Ethiopian from the scripture. He's explaining, right? He's opening. He's setting before this Ethiopian the scriptures in Jesus. And so Paul did it, Philip did it, but they're not the only ones. In fact, Jesus did this. Did you know Jesus reasoned from the scriptures? So in Luke 24, there's an account. This is after Jesus has died. This is after he's raised from the dead. There are a couple of his disciples who are walking on a road going to a place called Emmaus. And all of a sudden, the resurrected Jesus appears among their traveling group, and he's walking with them, and he goes, "Hey," Jesus essentially says, "What's all the hubbub?" And so they're like, "What? Have you been living under a rock? You have no idea what's been going on here for the last few days?" Right? And so they talk about Jesus. And one of the things that they come up was like, "Man, we don't know why he had to die." Right? We don't understand that. And now he's raised from the dead, and we're trying to wrap our minds around all of that. And you get to Luke chapter 24, verse 27, and it says this, talking about Jesus. "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them." He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And so Jesus was reasoning with them from the scriptures, right? He's taking Moses, he's taking the prophets, and he's explaining to them why the Messiah had to suffer and then rise from the dead, right? So Paul's simply doing what Jesus did, what Philip did, what others were doing. Reasoning from the scriptures is normal for believers to do. Now, I want to say this, because this is important. Reasoning from the scriptures is very, very different than arguing with somebody about what they believe. That's not reasoning from the scriptures. That's just fighting, okay? So that's not what that is. Reasoning from the scriptures is not ridiculing another person for what they believe, because it's so much different than what you believe. Reasoning from the scriptures is not slapping a bumper sticker on the back of your car. Reasoning from scripture is not wearing your Christian t-shirt, loudly and proudly. Reasoning from scripture is not trolling people online to bait them into arguments over the things that you want to talk about. That's not reasoning from scripture. That is something totally else that's much, much less helpful. What is reasoning from the scripture? I actually think Peter helps shed a really clear light on what it looks like to reason from the scripture. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, there's a really clear verse in there. And let's do this. Let's actually read this passage out loud together, beginning with, "But in your hearts revere Christ." Are you ready? Go. "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness." Yeah. That's, leave that up there if you would for just a moment. That's what it looks like to reason from the scriptures. That the starting place is that Jesus is Lord over my life. And I'm always prepared to respond for why I have hope in him alone. I'm always ready to give an answer. I'm always ready to reason from the scriptures. I'm always ready to open and set before and to explain and to prove. And when I do that, I do it with gentleness and respect. That's what it looks like to reason from the scriptures. That's the picture that Luke is painting for us for that, what that looks like. Now, what Luke does in sharing with us from Acts chapter 17, he says, listen, when you reason from the scriptures, you can typically expect one of two responses to take place in the person who's listening to you. They're either going to fight you, or their response is going to be a response of faith, right? Those are typically the two responses, fighting and faith. And you see that right here in Acts 17, right? So Paul, Silas, and Timothy really clearly shares the gospel. And then what do the Jews, the people who have doubled down on religion, this is, you know, I'm working my way to God, I'm earning my way into a healthy relationship with him. They heard what Paul and Silas and Timothy had to say. They understood the gospel. They understood that Paul was saying, listen, we are saved by grace through faith alone. There's no work you can accomplish to get into a healthy relationship with God. A healthy relationship with God is open to anybody, Jew or Gentile, and it's by faith, right? There's no work. Jesus has done all the work, and it's by faith in Christ alone. That's it. And they understood that, and they got angry. So angry, they started fighting against Paul, Silas, and Timothy, right? And we read what they did, went and found bad characters. They started a riot in the town, all that kind of stuff. Why? Well, Luke tells us why. They were jealous. They are now losing power. They're now losing numbers. They're now losing influence. You're saying people can get to God through another way than the synagogue? And through the law? And through the sacrifices? No, not having it. So they start a riot in Thessalonica. So what do Paul and Silas and Timothy do? They head out and they go to Berea. Do the same thing there. The Jewish Thessalonians were so angry, they actually went to Berea. But here's the thing. The distance between Thessalonica and Berea, 45 miles. 45 miles. Have you ever been so angry to travel 45 miles to get back at somebody? You're like, ah, that's so big. That's like a trip to Toledo. No big deal. Yeah, on I-75 in your car, these people had to walk 45 miles. Have you ever been so angry that you're willing to walk 45 miles to get back at somebody? Right? Like, I think about that. I've been mad in my life, and when I think I'd have to walk 45 miles, I'd probably get about four steps in and go, ah, we're good. You know, I forgive them. It's fine. Everything's all right. They were willing to walk. They were so angry. They understood the gospel so clearly. They were going to fight it. You know, that's actually a legitimate response to the gospel, in my opinion. I actually think fighting against the gospel is a legitimate response, because it's the other side of the response of faith, right? And that happened too. You had people in Thessalonica who came to faith. You had people in Berea. They came to faith, right? Because the people heard. They examined the scriptures. They saw that this was true. They crossed the line of faith. They said yes to Jesus. And so when you clearly share the gospel, when you reason about Jesus from the scriptures, Luke says, listen, you can expect some people are going to fight you, and you can expect that some are going to come to faith. And I actually understand both of those responses. I think those are both appropriate responses, and here's why. It's appropriate for somebody to come to faith who says, well, yes. But it also seems right for somebody to fight against this thing, and here's why. Because the gospel is either everything you've ever hoped for, or the gospel threatens everything you've ever wanted. Let me say that again, because that's very important. And people in the room and people who are joining online, you need to hear this. Either the gospel is everything you've ever wanted and desired and hoped for, or the gospel actually threatens everything you've ever wanted. And so when somebody comes to faith, I get that, because they see that the gospel is everything they've ever hoped for. But I also understand when people fight against it. Because when they hear it, they understand it. They go, if I say yes to Jesus, this is going to threaten everything that I've built my life around. Right? I know of a person who believes in God, believes that the scriptures are real. Right? They're not arguing against that thing. But when it comes to the time we're going, hey, have you come to a place where you put your faith in Jesus yet? They're like, no. Well, why not? Because if I did, I know I'd have to give up control of my life. And I can't do that. I want to be in charge of my life. That's a person who actually understands the gospel really well. And so they're resisting it. They're fighting it. The response I don't understand is the response where you share the gospel and they go, huh. They don't put their faith in it. They don't fight against it. And that tells me they either didn't hear you or they didn't understand what you had to say. Because if they really understood the gospel, the only two rational responses are to put all of your hope and faith in it, or to actually fight tooth and nail against that thing because you wouldn't want that message to go one step further. Those responses make sense to me. See, when you talk about Jesus from the Bible and people understand, they'll respond. And Luke says, some will fight you, but some will come to faith. And so, he's right, like Luke is showing us, man, Paul reasoned from the scriptures. In fact, even with Philip and Jesus, right? It was Luke who wrote those too. Here's these other people. They're reasoning from the scriptures. Why would we reason from the scriptures as opposed to something else? And I'll tell you why. Reasoning from the scriptures actually resists manipulation, right? It resists manipulation, trying to manipulate other people. And manipulation is just a form of control, by the way. That's all it is. You're just trying to control. Most of the time when somebody tries to manipulate using religion, they leverage emotions, especially guilt and fear. Those are the ones they double down on. Guilt and fear. If you were here a few weeks ago, we were in this series, Four Keys to Spiritual Growth. We're going through 2 Peter, and the last week I got to teach on the return of Christ. And you can't teach on the return of Christ without talking about the finality of his return, right? And so those who are found in Christ, they'll be with him forever, right? Those who have put their faith in him. But then those who have rejected him or ignored him and overlooked him, they'll actually be separated from him forever. And you have to talk about both those things. And so that morning, I really wrestled with whether to put an opportunity in that moment to invite people to put their faith in Jesus. And I prayed all morning, and I prayed a lot of the time while I was teaching, and I prayed right before I came to that moment. And if you were here that morning, you actually know I did not ask you in the room to raise your hand or stand up or come forward to make a decision to follow Jesus. And the reason I didn't is I didn't want to leverage an emotionally charged moment to try to get you to respond. I didn't want to manipulate that moment, right? Because at Lighthouse, we're not looking for hands to be raised. We're not looking for boxes to be checked. We're praying for and we're hoping for disciples to be made through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And so a lot of times, people will use manipulation and especially fear and guilt to try to get people to do what they want. That's just another form of religion. And when you reason from the Scriptures, you actually resist that. When you reason about Jesus from the Scriptures, it invites people to make a thoughtful decision as opposed to an emotional one only. I think most in here would agree that putting your faith in Jesus is the most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life. It trumps what career you're going to, you know, follow. It trumps what house you're going to live in. It trumps the car you're going to drive. It trumps whether you're Pepsi or Coke. Clearly, both are horrible. I'm RC Cola man. No, I'm not. That's bad too. This is the most important decision you'll ever make. And Jesus understood that, right? In Luke 14, Jesus told his disciples, listen, you've got to count the cost before you follow me. Because anybody who wants to follow me, and you got to deny yourself, you got to pick up your cross, and you got to follow me. And then he goes on to say, you know, you wouldn't build a tower and not first make sure you have enough money to complete the project. Because if you got halfway done and you didn't have the resources to do it, that would be pretty embarrassing and people would ridicule you. Because it's the same way, like if you were a king, you wouldn't go to battle against another king. First, you'd count up your soldiers and make sure you had the ability to actually defeat that king. But if not, you would try to figure out a way to make peace. Because if you went to war and you didn't have enough, that would be bad. And Jesus said in the same way, right? Luke 14:33, Jesus said, so you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. Jesus was saying, you got to count the cost. This is a thoughtful decision. This is not an emotional reaction to a really heartwarming story that was told at the end of a sermon or, you know, a really powerful video. This is thinking about truth. Is this thing real? Is it not? Am I really ready to hand over my life to Jesus? And so reasoning from the Scriptures invites people to make a thoughtful decision. Reasoning from Scripture actually welcomes people to investigate the Bible on their own. It actually does. It invites them to open up the Bible for themselves. This is what the Bereans did, right? Verse 11. The Bereans are doing this very thing. They considered, they considered what Paul had to say, and then they examined the Scriptures. That word examine, actually in the NIV there, it carries a legal connotation, meaning they cross-examined. So it's like they took the testimony from Paul, and then they're like, well, let's go look at the testimony from Scripture, and they're cross-examining Scripture and Paul and all, like a witness would do, right? And you know, or an attorney would do with a witness. And so what are they doing? They're digging into the details. They're asking questions. And the whole goal of a cross-examination is to get to the truth. That's the real win. That's the real goal. That's what the Bereans did. That's what we're inviting people to do when we reason from the Scriptures. We're inviting them to get to truth. And so when you open the door to the gospel through reasoning from the Scriptures, you're actually giving your friend, you're giving your family member, you're giving your coworker the opportunity to either walk through that door because they see what is true, or they actually see what's true and they resist it. Right? The choice is theirs. The choice is, you know, as God is drawing them and wooing them, whether they'll respond to him or not. And so there's something powerful when we choose to reason from the scriptures about Jesus as opposed to anything else. So here's where we're going to land this thing. We're going to really quickly talk about how do you do that? How do you reason from the scriptures about Jesus? Two words, and I'm going to explain them. The first word is preparation. The second word is dialogue. Okay? Preparation and dialogue. Let's talk about preparation just really quickly. If you're going to be able to reason from the scriptures about Jesus, that is going to require you to be in the scriptures, right? To read the scriptures, to study the scriptures. Some of you, you're shocked right now. How did we get here talking about reading the Bible? I can't believe it, right? Every week, you always make it there. But reading and studying the Bible in your own time, right? In your own time. And not just reading and studying for the sake of what do I need to do, what new religion do I need to put together, what efforts do I need to double down on, but more so focused on God and focused on Jesus, right? This is what we're focusing on. And so again, this is going back to what Jesus said to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He said, listen, Didn't the Messiah have to suffer? Didn't he have to rise from the dead? And then starting with Moses, starting with the prophets, starting with the Psalms, he began to explain all about himself through those scriptures, right? This is what we're talking about. And so when you're reading the scripture, start with the place of focusing on how it points to Jesus. Start with the place, how does this reveal Jesus' character? How does Jesus, the fulfillment of this passage, of this truth, this is where we're starting. And as you do that, you're actually preparing yourself to be able to reason about Jesus from the scriptures. One tool you might use, we actually have a Bible reading plan that is one of my favorites. It's called 30 Days with Jesus. And so you actually start in Isaiah, and then you're working through different places in the Gospels, and you're reading for yourself the things that Jesus did. You're reading for yourself the things that Jesus said and he taught, right? You're seeing him explain some things on his own. And so that would be a really good place if you're going, man, I really want to grow and learn how to reason from the scriptures about Jesus. This could be a really great tool for you. And so if you want to get the 30 Days with Jesus Bible reading plan, on the back of that card that Mary mentioned earlier, there's a next step there on the right-hand side that says, please send me the 30 Days with Jesus Bible reading plan. Make sure your email address is on the front, and we will make sure that we get that to you tomorrow morning. But I think that would be a really good tool. Now, as you're reading scriptures and you're thinking about Jesus within all of that, another really great way to prepare is to spend time talking about it with other growing disciples. So we're just about a month and a half away from small groups coming up and running, and this is a great, great place for you to be able to talk about how to reason from the scriptures about Jesus with other believers. You actually might even invite some of your friends who are discovering and seeking who Jesus is to come and be a part of your small group when those open up. So that's another great tool. And then also praying, right? Praying. Praying for God to prepare your heart, praying for God to prepare the hearts of others, God to open up your mind about truth from scripture, all of those things. But that's how you prepare if you're going to reason from the scriptures about Jesus. Now, how do we actually reason from the scriptures? That was that word dialogue that I just mentioned. Now, when verse 2 of Acts 17 says that Paul reasoned with them from the scriptures, it's actually this Greek word called dialegomai. Isn't that cool? Dialegomai. Here's what I want you to do. Turn to the person next to you and say, dialegomai. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Some of you are like, no, I'm not even attempting it right now. Okay. Now, turn to your other person who's your second choice you didn't look at first. I go, sorry to pick you first, but I like this person more. And look at them and say, dialegomai. All right. Dialegomai. Yeah. Hey, this is where we get our word dialogue. We get our word dialogue, right? And so a dialogue, this is a conversation with other people. I want to say that I can't stress that enough. This is a conversation. It's a conversation. And so how do you get in a conversation with another person? I'm going to tell you the number one way to get into a conversation with another person. Ask questions. Ask questions. Spend less time talking about you, less time talking about what you want to talk about, and instead ask questions. Just ask questions. And then the really important part, listen. Listen. Listen to what they have to say, right? Ask questions and listen, right? And so you're meeting with your friend, you're talking with them, you're asking questions, and you get into it, and you have a moment of bravery, and you go, right, there's a pause in the conversation, you go, hey, what do you believe about God? And then you listen, right? Everybody has a thought about that, whether they're open or they're angry, right? What do you think happens after we die? Have you thought about that? Yeah, we all have. What do you think happens? And you listen. Here's one if you're with a friend who's sharing like a challenge that they're going through. Hey, you're sharing something that's very challenging. When life gets challenging, where do you turn to for help? Where do you typically turn to for help? Right? And you let them express. You let them share. Another one, if you're kind of more surfacey, I've been using this one a lot as I'm kind of talking to people, is I'll just say, hey, why did you choose the career that you're in right now? And so, you know, they'll say, well, I got into this because of whatever, but what I really wanted to do was, and then they share, they're like, oh, and then, you know, you keep pulling on that thread, and then you're able to cross into things like purpose and meaning and intentionality and what we're created for and all this kinds of stuff. But, right, you're just asking questions and you're listening, right? Not with a moment to, like, have a gotcha, right? Like, oh, I've got you, you know, I've been weaving my web and now you're into my gospel opportunity. No, you're actually just getting to know them, right? Just go, what do they care about? What are they afraid of? What do they love? What are they hopeful for? Right? All of these things, you're asking questions and you're listening and then you're discussing with them. And literally for some of you, there may cross a moment where you actually open and set before a person the scriptures, right? You can actually get to that place in a conversation if it goes there naturally, right? You start talking about the Bible and truth, and you go, you know, it says here, I've been reading this recently, and it says here, what do you think about that? What are your thoughts on that? When you're dialoguing with another person about Jesus, focus on Jesus and resist and stay away from theology and practice, right? Because you will go down roads that are less helpful there. Just start with Jesus. Focus on Jesus, because that's what we're really talking about. And again, I want to stress this. This is a dialogue, two people talking, not a monologue. Me giving a speech. Really important. Now, there's something that's important that's kind of an undercurrent. We talked about it earlier, but I need to bring it back for just a second. This that we're talking about actually requires openness from the other person that the Bible is true, or the Bible is from God, okay? That's a little bit of a foundational thing that we're starting with here, okay? You're not going to do that with everybody. So some of you are going, well, how do I get into a dialogue with somebody about Jesus who they don't believe in God? They don't believe that the Bible is from God or true or anything along those lines. How do I do that? That's next Sunday. So if you want to know, you have to come back. You have to tune in next Sunday, right, for that. But today, we're talking about people who already have a religious background. We're talking about people who already believe in God. We're talking about people who believe that the Bible is, on varying levels, true. We're talking about people who have some kind of a background. See, you might not realize this, but there are literally tens of thousands of people in our county who are familiar with the Bible. They do believe in God. They are at church many, many Sundays. Many are serving in some type of ministry capacity. They are very, very religious, but they are not born again by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Some are actually in this room right now. Some are actually joining us online. And I don't say that to belittle. I'm just saying that to make the point that's true. You and I know people who are actually very open to the good news of Jesus. They actually want to live a life walking in faith with Jesus, but nobody's actually reasoned with them from the scriptures yet about Jesus. They've talked about their church. They've talked about their brand of religion. They've argued and wrestled over theology and practice, but nobody's actually reasoned with them from the scriptures about Jesus. And if you did, many people might likely come to faith. Or they might fight you. Both of those are responses to the gospel. But I want to give you a warning when it comes to reasoning from the scriptures. You cannot logic someone into faith. No matter how tight your reasoning and philosophy is, you can't logic them into faith. Right? If you could, that would be no different than manipulation. You see, only God can lead someone to the point of being born again. Only God can actually transfer somebody out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his glorious Son. Only God can do that. But you and I can point the way. Actually, that's what he's created the church for, is to point the way to the open door. See, faith isn't algebra. Faith isn't a formula, right? It's not a pull these spiritual levers and then these spiritual things must happen in return, because that's the way the law works. It's not explaining a formula. It's not explaining algebra. In fact, the gospel is more like describing art or an event or a meal or a relationship or something along those lines, right? You're painting the picture for somebody to really understand and enter into it. So a couple Saturdays ago, my family, we actually were all together one night and we made dinner together. And it went really well. Usually it's a train wreck. And this night it was really well. I think because we were making Mexican food that night. And so I'm half Mexican, so I was a little bit more into it. And we're like, you know, we're making enchiladas and rice and salsa and guacamole, like all this stuff. And, you know, everybody, like Christine even had Mexican music on and we're like dancing while we're doing whatever. And kids are helping to make stuff and we're laughing and all these great smells are in the house and we're telling stories and we're talking about God and we're praying together. And we had this great, like little baby Kay had a tiny sombrero on and she's like dancing around and you know, it was just a really, really fun night together. And we just enjoyed that time. Now, I could forward to all of you the recipes from that night. So then, you know, you can make enchiladas or, you know, salsa or whatever, you know, from what we made that night. I could send you the recipes. I could even tell you the story and paint the picture for you of what it looked like on that Saturday night as we're having dinner together. Or I could actually go one step much, much further, much, much deeper, and I could invite you over to my house one night when we make dinner together and invite you to enjoy and experience the meal with us. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about reasoning from the scriptures about Jesus. This is not a sterile conversation where we keep people at arm's length. We're inviting people to enjoy. We're inviting people to experience. We're inviting people to experience the joy of forgiveness, the freedom of grace, the peace of walking with God, the love of the Spirit living inside of you, the kindness of Jesus doing everything on your behalf and paying your debt so that you could be invited to enjoy a healthy relationship with God forever. Reasoning from the scriptures about Jesus, sharing truth about Jesus from the scriptures, it will change people's lives. It'll change yours. It'll change your family, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors. This is who God is. He leverages his scripture in amazing ways. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes and ask Jesus question we ask every single weekend, and simply, Spirit, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me right now through this message? And I just want to give you an opportunity to listen to him. Father, there's probably a sense among some who, when they hear the phrase reasoning from the scriptures or explaining or proving or whatever, get really nervous and go, oh, I'm not scholarly in that way yet. They're like Moses, I don't talk real good or whatever it might be. And it's like, I pray that your Spirit would let them know that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about having a personal friendship with Jesus through the scriptures and through the Holy Spirit that actually begins to transform us and prepares us to naturally enter into a dialogue with other people about who you are and about what you've done and what you can accomplish and what you've done in the past and what you're pointing to in the future. I think one of my one of the prayers that keeps coming to the forefront of my mind right now, Lord, is that you would grant every single person in this room, every person who's joining us online, you would grant us the courage to spend time with you in the scriptures. To break through the walls and the barriers that are keeping us from engaging your truth. Will you grant us the courage to spend time with you in the Bible? We ask for that. One of the things we love to do at Lighthouse is to pray for one another. And so what's going to happen is the band's going to come up here and they're going to lead just one more song. It's not a very long one. But what also is going to happen during this last song is we're going to have prayer leaders who are going to be available in the four corners of the room. And so I'm going to ask our prayer leaders to get in place as well. And they're going to be available to pray with you about any area of your life at all, any at all, right? And you don't have to be a member of Lighthouse Community to receive prayer. You don't have to have been here lots of times. And you don't have to be embarrassed either. I know sometimes there's going to be, oh, what will people think? What will they say? What will they, you know? And most people are going to be looking at the words on the screen, or they're going to be singing to the Lord, and they won't even notice you slip out of your seat, head down the aisle, and go to a corner to pray with somebody. They won't. And every one of us need prayer, if we're honest. We could all identify multiple things going on in our lives that we could pray about. And it is a good gift to have another believer pray for you. And so at any time during this song, I'm going to invite you to do that. So if you're here in the house, let's stand together as we transition into a time of singing and prayer. And then I'm going to pray for you and invite you to do the same. Holy Spirit, I pray that you draw every single person who needs prayer right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.